This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Chugging along here on Sports Talk, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele at Master Control, taking you up till 7 p.m. We also got LSU baseball first pitch at 6:30. You can follow that on 92.9 FM, The Bet, and 1350 AM. But first, we're going to get into Saints talk. We're going to go to the Oakland Art Jewelers talk and text line. We're going to bring in friend of the program, Ross Jackson, host of Locked On Saints. He also writes for Louisiana Sports .net. Ross, how you handling this offseason? You doing good?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm great. It's funny how, every year there's less and less of an offseason. This season more so than usual. So, it's always good to just keep everything rolling.
Yeah, it's funny because we've seen new coaches before. Obviously Dennis Allen took over in 2022, and there was, kind of rebuilt coaching staffs each of the last few years to some extent. One year they rebuilt the offense, one year they rebuilt the defense. It was kind of striking yesterday when the Saints sent out this list of the coaches they've hired, and there was like 27 names on there. And you'd have to go back to Sean. I'm sure that's how it was in 2006 when Sean Payton took over. I'm sure he rebuilt the whole coaching staff. But this is kind of new ground from the perspective of changing basically everything. There's obviously some returning coaches. But, I'm just curious. Obviously, I know you went through that list. I'm sure you broke it all down. Were there any kind of highlights, any names, any positions that stood out to you in that group?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a ton of names in there to start with. So I think the overwhelming number of names, like you mentioned, is one big thing. Like, if you're looking for the New Orleans Saints to undergo incremental change on their coaching staff, you did not get that. But if you're looking for a wholesale change on the coaching staff, you definitely got that. So I think that was takeaway number one there. The additions in terms of offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator were all ones that we sort of expected. Doug Nussmeier, has kind of followed Kellen Moore from Dallas, or not, I shouldn't say followed, but traveled with Kellen Moore from Dallas to Los Angeles to Philly, now comes here to New Orleans, or comes back to New Orleans, rather, where he started his pro playing career.
I do like and to so think that, of it as like a car parade, like Doug just kind of is driving behind Kellen on the highway down here.
Yeah, they both just kind of like have their kind of pack mule like in tow and everything like that, and they're just kind of like rolling down the highway together and everything. Yeah. Like, it's great. And then you saw, Brandon Staley, kind of the shift of roles there. Brandon Staley was the head coach with the Chargers when Kellen Moore was the offensive coordinator. Now you see those roles reversed. Kellen Moore, head coach, and then Brandon Staley is defensive coordinator. And then the defensive coaching staff to me is really interesting, right? A lot of guys coming from collegiate backgrounds, a lot of guys with a lot of experience, some guys with a little bit of NFL experience, some guys with a lot of NFL experience. And so I love kind of the eclectic nature of that and bringing in guys from college, including like a huge hire like Bo Davis in the defensive line. It's massive. So you were to get a guy like that from LSU and from an SEC team, Terry Joseph coming over from Texas, that's a big one as well. And so getting these guys from very well, good treatment over in, and I'm sure good pay in these SEC programs, I think that's telling in terms of what it is that they want to do. And then I like the structure is kind of the final thing that I'll mention here. I like that Kellen Moore has got former head coaches on his staff and Scott Linehan coming over as a senior offensive assistant. promoting not only hiring Joel Davis and bringing him back to New Orleans, but having him not only be the running backs coach, but also associate head coach. It's as if Kellen Moore's looking at it. He's like, hey, I know I'm a 36-year-old first-time head coach. Let me surround some people around me that I trust that have that knowledge or that are looking at that kind of trajectory for themselves, like Joel Thomas. I love that. And that defensive coaching staff shows you a little bit of what that defensive scheme is going to look like. An edge coach in addition to a defensive line coach, which is kind of like having an outside linebackers coach, two defensive backs coach, which tells you they're going to focus a little bit more corner and safety. So I like the way that that's kind of broken down as well, too. You can immediately translate the system directly to a position group without much internal translation of a larger unit.
Ross, you're at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, and this is kind of a two-part question, just kind of standouts from it. And then at the same time, like, a lot of the buzz about Armon Manboo, the right tackle from Missouri, and Nicky Manwari, the safety from South Carolina, and Shamar Stewart, the defensive end from Texas A&M, all these guys that tested just ridiculously at the Combine. I mean, how much stock do you really put into that versus, you know, the tape that these guys put out there in college over their three-year careers?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually asked Jeff Ireland about that when we got to speak with him, Mickey Loomis, and Kellen Moore while we were at the Combine. And one of the things that he talked about was basically that, like, they trust their evaluation and what it is that they sort of see on their tape. And so the way that they kind of break everything out in terms of, you know, either positional, looking at, you know, what the draft class has to offer and things like that. And so what those workouts will do is effectively send you back to those players if there's something that maybe, you know, you saw on tape, but then the workout, you know, sends you back to that tape to where you're like, oh, wow, I didn't really see that. Let me go and look at it. Let me confirm that on tape. Because you can do whatever you want in, you know, a little bit of clothes and running in a straight line, but can you do that on the field? And so really it's all about, like, what those workouts do for standouts like the guys that you mentioned. What those workouts really do is kind of send you back to see, okay, can I confirm that on their, you know, their play speed? Can I confirm that in the way that they move? Can I confirm that? And, you know, what do they look like in terms of their mentals? And so I think that's a big part of it too. And I think that the interview part has to be a big part of it as well, because you can be as talented as you want, but if you lack some of the ability to see, diagnose, explain, translate, all those other things, then maybe, you know, the athleticism doesn't become as important. So I think that that becomes a big part of what that is too. I think all of those guys that you mentioned obviously were huge standouts in terms of the Combine. The Shamar Stewart one is one that I actually listed as like one that I think the Saints might want to avoid. You know, have all that success in your workouts, but 1.5 sacks in each of your last 3 years, 4.5 sacks in total over the course of your career, that screams project to me. That screams, you know, development to me. And I don't know that the Saints, who have a lot of needs on their roster, are in position to really invest in guys that are a project. So I think I'd be looking for them to kind of go back to the Sheldon Rankins draft pick days of going for the sure thing at number 9 in order to make sure that they're in their best possible scenarios moving forward as they look to build this team up after rebuilding that coaching staff.
Yeah, it's the dreaded P word, Ross, of potential. It's not the good
edge
one.
Edge rusher project, that's my favorite thing. What
goodness
are you talking
gracious.
About?
Yeah, no, it's but I don't think that edge rusher is necessarily out of the question for the Saints at pick 9 because it's such a good defensive Agreed. Line class. You know, I really like Kenneth Grant as well because they need a nose tackle with the shift to a 3-4 defensive scheme, but maybe 9's a little bit rich for a 3-down nose tackle. I'm not exactly sure how they view that position. This is a kind of entering another question, though, for you, Ross, is just, you know, do you care about position value at pick 9, or is it just the situation where you look at, like, a Tyler Warren, who's a tight end? There haven't been many tight ends drafted in the top 10, not even like Brock Bowers, who lit the world on fire this past year with the Raiders, was a top 10
right.
pick. Like, do you care about positional value at pick 9, or are you just going best player on the board, regardless of position?
I care about positional value when I'm looking at it, but I'm also, but to me, positional value is impacted by the depth of that position in the draft, as well as the need on the team. So, for instance, you know, if you have a starting quarterback already on your roster, then quarterback, which would have the highest positional value, the positional value is lower for you if you are the Kansas City Chiefs, for instance, right? But if you have a need at safety and you're in a position to where you can take an Amon Worry in the first round, then maybe that positional value is multiplied a bit because you have a need at that position. So I think all of it has to be considered. So I do believe in positional value for teams, but I believe that positional value varies team by team based upon what's needed on their roster. So I think it's kind of a blend of all the different kind of pieces there. So look, I'm usually not like a first round tight end guy. I certainly, you know, haven't been in my history a top 15 tight end guy, but Tyler Warren's just kind of a different beast, right? He's kind of a different monster in that situation. And so I think that there are the times, too, where the players are the exception, regardless of their position, because of the way that they can impact your team. I think a guy like Tyler Warren could have a big impact, especially seeing the Kellen Moore success in the past that he's had with these sort of do-it-all tight ends like a Dallas Goedert, who's not only a good pass catcher and route runner, but is also a solid blocker. I think you see that in Tyler Warren's game, even though what's talked about when it comes to Tyler Warren is also what he can do, you know, in the backfield and lining up in a wildcat and all those other things. If you just focus on what he can do at tight end, I think he's a really impressive prospect, even that alone, which I think could warrant a first round swing.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, kind of just jumping back to the current NFL players, and I don't want to get your thoughts on some of the free agent options, contract extension options, because, you know, just starting with the ones from the Saints, you know, there's a few guys who I kind of refer to them as like hidden money guys. Like, so if the Saints hammer out an extension with a Chase Young, with a Juwan Johnson, there's money coming back to you because the dead money,
right,
you can keep pushing that out. So I think there's added value there in the sense that whatever you sign Chase Young to, if you bring Chase Young back, you can basically subtract $9 million from it this year and kind of push that forward. I think there's incentive there to get a deal done. But I want to get your take on a guy who I wouldn't put in that category, in Paulson Adebo. He's coming off his rookie contract. Obviously, he broke his femur in week 7. That game against the Broncos was a brutal injury, but the positive thing is it happened early enough in the season that he now gets the opportunity to post all these, to do what I call the Quan Alexander, to post all these videos of these workouts and doing backflips and showing how athletic he is, running 21 miles an hour on a treadmill and all that stuff. But it does show, hey, he's back, he's healthy. I'm just curious, what would you do if you were the Saints in that situation? And what would you think would be a fair contract to offer a guy like Paulson Adebo if they did try to bring him back?
Yeah, I'd be looking at something that was kind of a shorter term deal, 2 years, and then, you know, you're probably going to be hovering somewhere around, you know, hovering around a $10 million, $9 million per year kind of a situation. If you can get lower than that, that's probably good. It's going to depend upon what his market looks like in addition, though, if you get to that point where he goes out there and gets a look. But I think it's worth it. I think the thing that's good with the Paulson Adebo is that he already knows he knows what it is that you want to do. Even though you're going to have a changeover on defense, he's got former wide receiver experience, which I think is important with Brandon Staley's kind of pattern matching, to where you're watching to see what receivers are doing off of their release, off the line of scrimmage, and then you're adjusting based on the rules that you have on defense. He's a quick processor. He's a smart player, and he's got that experience. I think that that could go a long way. He's got a lot of starting experience as well. He's a week one starter from the moment that he was drafted here in New Orleans. And I think that him coming off of that injury, I'm not not too worried about the injury. Everyone that I've spoken to around it has kind of looked at that injury as being one to where it's stronger after it's repaired than it was before it was repaired, that kind of a thing. And that risk of re-injury is pretty low with a femur break. The injury itself is rare as a whole. And so if you're able to get him back at, you know, the level that he was playing at, and if he's comfortable and, you know, he can kind of make the mental recovery in addition to the physical recovery, I think that's a guy that makes a lot of sense to bring back here in New Orleans. And maybe you do him the favor of doing a 1 or 2 year deal, which would give him the opportunity to, before he hits the age of 30, get an opportunity to go out there and try to find another potentially even bigger contract, whether it's with you in New Orleans or elsewhere at that point. So I think that's kind of the share that you can do there. I think he should be one of the Saints' top priorities in terms of bringing back for 2025.
Yeah, the other thing I'll give Paulson credit for, and this is something that every cornerback is trying to be, he takes the ball away. He gets his hands on the ball.
Yeah, 100%.
He might be a little handsy at times. The penalties can be frustrating. It's something he's dealt with in his career. But I don't know. Like, takeaways are worth their weight in gold, and he's just been a guy who just has magnets. Like, he gets those takeaways.
Yeah.
And you saw after he went out, they just didn't force turnovers at the rate that you
100%.
Need to force turnovers. And that's why if I'm the Saints, and this year in particular, like, if I'm Paulson Adebo, I kind of feel like, hey, I don't necessarily want to sign a 2-3 year deal. I might want to sign a 1 year deal to get that value back up. But, you know, I just think when you have a playmaker kind of that you can keep around and is kind of a culture bearer and a standard setter, that's who I want. That's who you want in a locker room.
Yep, that's exactly right. And I'll tell you what, too, the other thing that I'll highlight here is, like, when you look at Paulson, I know a lot of the kind of people that would say, hey, don't bring him back, a lot of that is centered around the defensive pass interference penalties, holding penalties, things like that. Here's the deal. If the New Orleans Saints' biggest issue last year were Paulson Adebo's penalties, they would have been a Super Bowl competitive team. You know what I mean? Like, if that was their biggest issue, we'd be talking about them in a very different light, and they probably wouldn't have had a huge amount of staff changeover and things like that. I'm not worried about that. I'm willing to live with those penalties, you know, for me looking at it from the outside, knowing that I'm going to get ball production. I think that's got to be the top need for the New Orleans Saints. This is a guy that played 7 games in 2024, and to your point, was tied for the lead in interceptions with 3 by the time the season was all over with, because after that injury and soon after the departure of Dennis Allen, this team just did not take the ball away anymore, and he was one of those guys that produced at the football, which I think is a very, very important aspect in all this, especially when you've got two young guys in Alante Taylor and Kool-Aid McKinstry, and, you know, guys that you're going to be building around potentially for your future. He's a dude that I would still want around for sure.
Yeah, and if you want to be sold on that, I advise go back and rewatch the Bears game from last year. It's like one of the single greatest cornerback games I've seen.
Man.
I think he had 4 takeaways, like a forced fumble, 3 interceptions. Anyway, you know, I'm just curious, as you kind of open up the range a little bit, are there any free agents this year that you're eyeballing that you think, okay, this is a perfect fit for the Saints, for what the Saints are going to want to do, whether it's on defense with Brandon Staley, on offense with Kellen Moore? Is there anyone you've kind of got earmarked at this point?
Yeah, I'll throw one each side out for you. I think on the offensive side, one guy, especially if the Saints, you know, either, I don't know what they're going to do with Derek Carr's contract, but whatever they do with Derek Carr's contract, once they do that thing and have money to spend, if you're really planning to go out there and be active, like Mickey Loomis mentioned and told us that they were going to be as compared to last year, I'd go after a guy like Mekhi Becton if he does indeed hit the market from the Philadelphia Eagles. He was a guy that moved from outside to inside and excelled in that situation. Not a lot of guys have the capability of doing that, and he did that in Kellen Moore's offense. Now, I'm sure offensive line coach Jeff Stoutland over in Philly was a huge part of his development, no doubt about that. But the Saints need a new starter at left guard. He's a plug-and-play starter for you. You might as well, if you're going to swing big at any one position, swing big at that offensive line. I think that's a good place to go. On the defensive side, I think, you know, TL's point, you're going to want that kind of like 3-down nose tackle or one of those nose tackle options. I'd go for kind of a more cost-effective option in this year's free agency, knowing that you can, as y'all mentioned earlier, go into the draft if you need to. I like a guy like Tier Tart, who played with the Chargers last year, didn't overlap with Brandon Staley, but he is that guy. And I think that him, Christian Boyd, who's already on the roster, and then potentially even John Ridgeway, if he remains on the roster as well, are 3 guys that could potentially battle out for that position over the course of training camp, potentially even rotate during the season. And then, of course, you could always introduce rookie opportunity there, or you have the opportunity, to introduce rookie competition there as well. But those are two guys that I'd highlight for sure in the trenches.
Great stuff, Ross. You can follow Ross at Ross Jackson Nolor every day on the Locked On Saints podcast. Also, check out his work over at LouisianaSports.net. Great stuff as always. Thanks so much, Ross. Appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Ross.
Appreciate you. Y'all take care. Stay safe. Talk to you soon. Thanks for having me.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.